الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نون والقلم وما يسطرون، ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون. وقال تعالى: لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق، لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون، إلى آخر الآيات. وقال تعالى: على محمد رسول الله، إلى آخر الآيات. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله تعالى بعثني كافة للناس رحمة، فأدوا عني رحمكم الله. ولقد أحسن القائل: بلغ العلا بكماله، كشف الدجى بجماله، بلغ العلا بكماله، كشف الدجى بجماله، حسنت جميع خصاله، صلوا عليه وآله. سيد درود شريف. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Respected elders, beloved brothers, may Allah make our discussion beneficial. We're discussing the best of Allah's creation and connecting it to this month that we are in. We'll discuss in Makkah what would happen in this month, and then in the Medinan stage. So now and again I'll ask you a few questions. Just try and be ready, or as they say, be on your toes. In the Meccan period, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told from the onset to go to the world. Surah Noon is one of the early Meccan revealed chapters. Surah Noon, the chapter I just read a few verses of. What's interesting is, from the beginning, Allah is saying to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this Quran I am giving you is for the whole world. In huwa illa dhikrun lil alameen. So Quran from the onset is drawing a distinction. What distinction? Between every Nabi who's great and our Nabi who's the greatest. Let's take a few examples from the Quran Kareem. There's chapters that discuss different Anbiya alayhi musallam. For example, Surah A'raf. Allah mentions Anbiya alayhi musallam in an amazing sequence. Allah tells us how Hazrat Hud alayhi salam gave da'wah. Before that, how Hazrat Nuh gave da'wah. Now let's remember A'raf. Remember A'raf is in the sequence of Quran, one of the earliest Meccan surahs in the sequence of Quran. An'am and A'raf. And A'raf is the longest Makki surah. So we have Baqarah, Ali Imran, Nisa, Ma'ida, all revealed in Medina Munawwara. A'raf is the longest Makki surah. So Allah tells us how Anbiya gave da'wah. But let's keep in mind, when Allah tells us how the Anbiya alayhi musallam gave da'wah, Allah Ta'ala doesn't just say Hazrat Hud gave da'wah. Look at Shu'ara, look at any chapter that this discusses them. Allah mentions how they gave da'wah, what they said in the da'wah, what was the reaction of the people, and what was the repercussion when the people denied the da'wah. So Nuh alayhi salam, then Hud alayhi salam. Then Allah tells us about Salih alayhi salam, who came after Hud alayhi salam. Allah then tells us about Lut alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam in a lot of detail in A'raf. At the end of this discussion, Musa alayhi salam is mentioned in great detail. Allah says, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, you tell them, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. I am Allah's Nabi to every one of you." Let's see this, the same theme and system. Let's take Maryam, Taha, Anbiya, alayhi musallam. These are also Makki surahs. In these chapters, Allah tells us about different Anbiya alayhi musallam. Now we're making tilawa, let's enjoy this. The Anbiya that are mentioned in Surah Maryam are approximately about 10. Then Surah Taha details those who are concised in the previous chapter. So it's like a continuation. And then Surah Anbiya mentions, details those who are not mentioned in the previous chapter, and mentions some who are mentioned, but concisely. So basically in these three chapters that are discussing different Anbiya alayhi wasalam, culminating with Surah Anbiya. Basically, Surah Al-Anbiya completes with the cherry on the top, meaning the best of the best. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are different. Every Nabi was sent for his time. Even Isa alayhi salam, let's remember this. He was sent for Bani Israel, for the lost sheep of the children of Israel. That change came into Christianity via Paul. Paul came 60 years after Isa alayhi salam. He was not even a disciple of Isa alayhi salam. He was an assassin of Christians. And he claimed Jewish, and then he fabricated a lie. Like the lies brought, that the Shia tried to bring into Islam via the Yahud. The Paul was an agenda to change the truth that Isa alayhi salam brought. So what Paul did was, the first change he brought was redemption. Because prior to that, there was no such thing as redemption, meaning Isa alayhi salam died for your sins. You have to plead for your sins. You have to please Allah to get success. You have to please Allah to find salvation. And let's remember this, because inshallah you're going to also talk to your Christian friends and associates and neighbors. Fanda marwa, next to your house, or Uncle Lee, who became Christian. You know why? Just now I'll tell you why Uncle Mudli became Christian. Just now I'm going to tell you why. But if you ask him, see, originally, when the rich ruler asked Isa alayhi salam, good teacher, what must I do to attain eternal life? Christians will tell you, believe in the blood of Christ. But Isa alayhi salam didn't say that. Now, I'm telling you this, I want you to tell the Christians you know. Isa alayhi salam didn't say that. Ask him, what did Jesus say? He said, uphold the commandments of Allah. Uphold the commandments of God. So tell him, why do you have to believe that He died for your sins? Shouldn't He have said that? It's a simple question to say, even to the missionary who comes to your door. 5 days ago, actually, missionaries came to my door. So they wanted to give me a message. I says, no man, you're our guests. I can't just leave you outside. Come inside. And we made the ikram. They gave us their story, but through ikram we then get a turn to give them our message. But anyway, cruxing this. So Paul said, no, redemption. Jesus died for your sins, and as long as you believe in that, you are forgiven. But we have to ask them, what did Isa alayhi salam say? Didn't he say to the rich ruler who asked him, what do I do to attain eternal life? He said, uphold the commandments. And then when they asked him, what's the most important command? He said, worship the Lord thy God and serve Him only. So anyway, Isa alayhi salam only came for his people. Paul brought one change, redemption. The other change he brought was, no, Isa alayhi salam came for everybody. But still there was tawheed, belief in one Allah, in the Christians. When did Trinitarianism come into Christianity? But don't forget our theme. We're discussing how every Nabi came for his people. What's the difference between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and every Nabi? Then is my big question for you. The second big change that came into Christianity was 300 years later, after Isa alayhi salam. 324. There was a Christian king. His father was Greek and Roman, and his mother was a Christian. He was Constantine. He constructed the famous city that is known as Istanbul, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied that will fall to the Muslims, that will come into Islam. But he constructed the city. 300 years prior to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was King Constantine. But he wanted to win all his masses. Father being a Roman, mother being a Christian, merging the two. Among the changes he brought, from Sabbath, Saturday being the holy day, he made it Sunday. That's number one. Number two, what was the second change he brought? Was the Greek and the Romans believed in three gods. So he made Christianity belief in three gods. That's when Father, Son and Holy Spirit came in. 300 years after Isa alayhi salam. Otherwise up to then, they also knew about Tawheed. That's why there's a very great person. I want you to remember his name. Aryus, rahimahullah. Even our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to him. He lived 300 years before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that means 300 years after Isa alayhi salam. He stood up against Constantine. And said, Allah is one. And he spoke for monotheism. And there was a debate that he won. But he was then banished. But he was banished into North Africa. And that's where he advocated the truth amongst the people of North Africa. And that's why when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote his letter to the Roman emperor, Allah's Nabi reminded him, if you're going to hinder the people, when is you invited to Islam? The other is, don't stop others from accepting the truth. Because then you'll have the sin of Arisiyin, those who were looking for the truth and were inspired by Aryus. But back to this, that was a change that came in Christianity via Constantine, 300 years after. Another change he brought was December 25th. He says that was the birth of Christ. There's no mention in the Bible about Isa alayhi salam's birth being that time. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was not born in winter, in the cold of Palestine. So let's rewind. Let's come back to what we were discussing. Every Nabi was sent to his own community. What does Surah Anbiya say? O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are sent to humanity. In totality. Ma'an illa is emphasis. Rahma is masdar for emphasis. The whole world, every country, every race, every region, every person, every color, every individual, irrespective of his language. Allah says, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is in Surah Furqan. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَذِيرًا. If we wanted, we could have sent a Nabi to every town. But Allah wants every town to emulate you and follow you. So what used to happen in Makkah? Whoever came into Makkah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to them. Muzammil discusses our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tahajjud, and then he's going to the non-Muslims. Long tahajjud and then tahajjud and then tahajjud and then tahajjud, and then Allah says, why? Inna laka fin nahar sabhan tawila muddathir, similar theme. Then muddathir discusses how the mushrikeen plotted. Because whoever came into Makkah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to them. Now it's Dhul-Qa'dah, Shawwal, and then Dhul-Qa'dah. What's happening in Dhul-Qa'dah in Makkah? The whole of Arabia is coming for pilgrimage. When they come for pilgrimage, what our Nabi used to do? He used to go to Ukkaz, Majinna, Dhil Majaz. These are three venues in the surroundings, the environs of Makkah. One was a bazaar, the other was a poetry contest. And then from there, as Dhul-Qa'dah ended, Dhul-Hijjah started, all the Arabs used to make their way to Mina. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to their bazaar. Why? To invite every non-Muslim to Islam. That was what he did in Dhul-Qa'dah in the Meccan stage. Year in and year out. Where they staying, he used to go to them. He used to approach them. The books of his seerah describe how he went to them. Who joined him? Mainly Hazrat Abu Bakr. Also Hazrat Ali. And many a time his uncle, Hazrat Abbas. But what's interesting is, Abbas, radiallahu anhu, wasn't a Muslim yet. But still he used to join Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. like Abu Talib, loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to all these tribes. Now Surah Muddathir describes how they came to their senior Walid bin Mughira. Oh Walid, what must we do? People are listening to us, but they're getting confused because we are contradicting each other. So the first few years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to the mushrikeen, the visitors into Makkah, inviting them to Islam. Many were embracing. Because when the mushrikeen used to meet them, as they entered Makkah, some used to say, oh, he's mad. Others used to say, be careful, he's a sorcerer. Others would say, he's a magician. Others would say, he's a poet. So Walid said, we all have to unify our statements. Quran describes Walid's plot here. ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرَ ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرُ. In this, whoever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met or they came to him, he invited them. This was throughout the year. But in Dhul Qa'dah, he went where they were camped. And you know what they used to tell him? Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many times are you going to come and tell us the same thing? Please, we're not interested. We don't want to know. One day he goes to the Banu Amir bin Sa'sa'a tribe. After giving them a full message, the one man from the Banu Muharib, he was elderly, he was 120. This is in Bidaya wa Nihaya. He comes there. He says, you know what? Young man, get lost. Aghni anna nafsak. Get rid of yourself. Run from here. And they started picking up stones and pelting it upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sadly, Allah's Nabi went away. Abu Lahab comes there. He says to the old man, you know what? What you did was marvelous. I wish everyone here just did the same exactly as you did. Then he gets up, the same old man. He says, oh my people, I'm telling you, if you take this man to your community, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, illa aba bi sharri ma ya'udu, ma ya'udu min al-musim. You're taking back the worst thing. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told so many derogatory things that hurt him so much. That's why one of the earliest chapters is Noon. During this time when they're calling him Majnoon, Allah is saying, oh my Nabi, you don't worry. You are not insane. Your akhlaq is impeccable. Your rewards are unlimited. Ajran ghayra mamnoon. Ghayra mamnoon means it will never get cut off. Because everyone is coming through you, whoever comes, and you get the reward. And ghayra mamnoon also means no one can ever repay you for your ihsan upon humanity. So this happened throughout the Meccan stage. Let's give a few examples. One is Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi. You must have heard that many a time. There were two young men who came from Medina Munawwara. They were on pilgrimage. So it was this time. When they saw Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi was layinul janib. You know what layinul janib means? His side was soft. That's the literal translation. What it actually means is, he was so approachable. Anyone who saw him would rather talk to him or ask him for a favor or come close to him, no matter who the person was. So two men, Rifa'ah and Mu'adh, they approached Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, you know what? They speak of someone who's so evil, but how can it be you? Is it you that they speak of? This is in Hakim's Mustadrak. Allah's Nabi said, yes, they speak of me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, what can I do for you? You come into Makkah. Can I be of any service to you? Look at that. They're saying they speak ill of you, but still Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to make their ikram. So they said that, yes, can you keep our camels in safekeeping so that we can go for pilgrimage? Allah's Nabi said, sure, I will arrange that for you. And as he takes their camels to make an arrangement for it, he says to Rifa'ah, there were two of them, Mu'adh and Rifa'ah. Now, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. See, Mu'adh's father was Harith. Mu'adh's mother was Afra. Afra was wedded in Makkah. She had four sons, Khalid, Iyas, Bukir, and Aqil. Then her husband passed on, she went to Medina Munawwara. There Allah gave her three sons. Her four sons in Makkah already embraced Islam in the first center of Islam. That was Darul Arqam. Look at Allah's greatness. Allah chose Hazrat Arqam's home. Abu Jahl is making an effort to destroy Islam. But Allah is showing his qudra. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun is looking for Musa alayhi salam. Allah made it such, Musa alayhi salam grew up in front of Fir'aun. Allah is showing that Allah is in control. Hazrat Arqam's home was the center of Islam. The first center of Islam. Allah give us all tawfiq to aspire that deen must reach the world even from our homes too. Anybody who comes to our homes must get hidayat. Hazrat Arqam's home was accepted. And what's amazing is he was from the Banu Makhzum. But hikmat is this, that also to understand why Allah didn't make it that Hazrat Abu Bakr's home wasn't chosen. Because Hazrat Abu Bakr was too close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody who wants to harm Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always go to look for Abu Bakr first. So his home couldn't be the center. The center had to be a home camouflaged. And Hazrat Arqam used to find out what's going on by the Quraysh and became a means of protection for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his home was camouflaged. But in Sahih Bukhari, Hazrat Abu Bakr's home was also a center. We're not going to digress much. But Hazrat Abu Bakr wanted to leave Makkah. Then Ibn Daghina said, no, you can't leave. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr stayed. What he made his home, just outside his home, he put a masjid. Outside his home, in front of his home. And there Hazrat Abu Bakr used to recite Quran loudly. Hazrat Abu Bakr's masjid outside his home had no walls. Look at his strategy. Everyone going past must hear the Quran. Hear the deen. Then the mushrikeen came to him and said, Abu Bakr, we won't stop you from worshipping Allah in your home. Stop doing it openly in your masjid. You're reading loudly. What's happening to our women folk and our children and our people? Meaning our children are becoming influenced by you. You have to stop this. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, I'll never stop. Why? Because that is da'wah. Hazrat Arqam's home was chosen. So those four sons embraced Islam there by Hazrat Arqam radiallahu anhu's home. This is the other brother. He's not Muslim yet. He's Mu'ad. And the other is Rifa'. So Allah's Nabi takes their conveyances and he says, this, Mu'ad, Rifa'ah, as you leave, I have 5 questions for you. Just answer me honestly. They said, yes, what do you have to ask us? Allah's Nabi said, the first question is, tell me, who created this earth we live on? So they both pondered, deliberated. You know what you're saying is true. The Allah you speak of created this earth. So one strategy of da'wah is to ask people questions. You're with the Uber driver. You're with maybe a taxi driver, bus driver, Allah knows. You're with someone on a flight. Ask the person, you're driving this car. If I have to take hold of the steering, you trying to turn right, I'm trying to turn left, and we're taking a bend towards the right, what's going to happen? We'll meet up in an accident, obviously. What if we were sitting in a bus and I tried to do the same? It would be a catastrophe. So you try and open his mind. Ask him a question. Make him think. Make him understand Allah's oneness. The second question, who created the sky above us? The Allah you speak of. Who created the mountains you see there? They answered. They pondered. No, the Allah you speak of. Not the idols we worship. Okay, tell me, Mu'adh, you and I, who created us? They pondered, they said, yes, the Allah you speak of. Okay, tell me, who manufactured those idols that you're going to worship there? They pondered, deliberated, they wanted to be honest. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so kind to them. They said, definitely, you know what you're saying is right. We manufactured those idols. Then Allah's Nabi says, okay, let's do this. He who created us, let's worship him. What we manufactured, that should rather be loyal to us. So like that, every person was given da'wah. One went to perform tawaf, Rifa'ah, the other state, he embraced Islam. The second came after his tawaf, he said, I also want to be Muslim. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the two surah Iqra and surah Yusuf. And like that, year in and year out. During one Dhul-Qa'dah period, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met a man by the name of Maysara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to his community. They were the Banu Abs tribe. Banu Abs. They're all non-Muslims. Allah's Nabi's da'wah was inviting every non-Muslim must receive the message. Every non-Muslim must hear about Allah. So Banu Abs tribe. Among the tribe, most of them were contentious and rejecting. But there are a few who pay attention. When you're speaking to them, they're interested. So afterwards, Allah's Nabi called Maysara one side and he wanted to invite him and spoke to him. He says, I agree with you, but I can't take the step without my people. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, you consider and when you're ready, you tell me. And then he leaves them. Maysara is trying to convince his tribesmen. They said, we're not interested, not this year. We'll see next time. As they're returning home, they said, we're passing a Jewish tribe, a town where the Jews reside, Wadi al-Qura. There's a Jewish community there. They are knowledgeable. Let's go meet them. They will tell us from their book if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the truth. So they agreed with Maysara. They go via this Jewish tribe. They meet the senior rabbi. They ask him, sir, guide us. This is the man we met. Is there anything true in what he's saying? The senior rabbi opened his book and read the descriptions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from their book. After reciting it, he said to them, is this the man you all met? They look at each other. Yes, it's him. It's him. Maysara says to them. Now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described in their books in detail. And shockingly, despite the distortion of the books, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still mentioned and indicated to. Now something, few verses I'll tell you quickly. Genesis is the first chapter in the Bible. Chapter 17 verse 20. Allah says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, I will make your son Ismail and his offspring a great nation. And as the verses continue, Allah says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, I have answered your prayer concerning the offspring of Ismail. And even mention is made of the 12 sons of Ismail alayhi salam. And mention is made about Ibrahim alayhi salam's age when Ismail alayhi salam was born. And that's in the first chapter. Then we have Deuteronomy as it goes further. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 18. Clearly, this verse describes the final Nabi of Allah to be like Musa alayhi salam. And I will send to them a messenger like unto thee, Moses. He will be from their brethren, from the brothers of the Israelites. Because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's second son, he was 99 when Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam was born. So from the brothers of the Israelites, Musa alayhi salam is from the Israelites. The brothers of the Israelites is the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam. So clearly, and then the verse says, he will not speak of his own accord, but what I put in his mouth he will speak. Then there's a very interesting prophecy in Isaiah. Now, check up Tafsir ibn Kathir under Surah Al-Ahzab. Under the verse, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. Under this verse, there's an amazing lengthy report. Allah says to Hazrat Sha'ya, and qum fi qawmika bani Israel. Tell your people the bani Israel, because I will inspire you. And the full description of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Allama ibn Kathir's tafsir, he brings the full report. Shockingly, in Isaiah, that's a verse still in the Bible, that's the English for Sha'ya alayhi salam, chapter 42, this whole section is an English translation of that entire prophecy of that Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Sha'ya alayhi salam. It's there in the tafsir, and the Bible has the whole passage just with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name removed. To such an extent that even Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam's son, Qaydar, is mentioned there. And tell Qaydar to stand on the mountains and call out the greatness of the Lord from the top of the mountains. And so many. So this Jewish rabbi describes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them. So Maysara radiallahu anhu says to them, come, let's return. They said, no, we'll see next year. So that's the harms of procrastination, because they didn't return even for the next few years. But Allah's Nabi continued his efforts. This is in the Meccan stage, and this is what I wanted to discuss with you in the Meccan stage. What about Dhul-Qa'dah in the Medinan stage? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara. So many amazing expeditions happened. Badr, Uhud. Among the expeditions that happened in Dhul-Qa'dah is Banu Qurayza. That was after Khandaq, where the Jews were treacherous to the Muslims. They were the only Jewish tribe left in Medina Munawwara. And whilst the Mushrikeen and the Jews of Khaybar sieged Medina in the expedition of Khaybar, the only Jewish tribe in Medina, Banu Qurayza, they had betrayed. they stabbed the Muslims in the back from within. And when Allah granted victory in Khandaq, Jibreel alayhi salam said, you have to go to Qurayza. I'm not going to discuss details of Qurayza, but Qurayza happened in Dhul-Qa'dah. Then in the sixth year after Hijrah. Now one is after Nubuwa, this is after Hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a dream, a vision. Him and his Sahaba are performing Umrah. So he tells the Sahaba, they elated. The Sahaba from Makkah especially, and those from Medina Munawwara as well. They're so happy. They all want to perform Umrah. They're yearning for the Kaaba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds them that this is a journey of pilgrimage, of minor pilgrimage, Umrah. And they all get ready and they undertake this journey. There's different reports, 114 or 116 was the number. And they're traveling to Makkah Mukarramah to perform Umrah. They even left their weapons at a certain venue because we're not here to fight. As they get to the borders of Makkah, just before that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel, who can tell me the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel? MashaAllah, what do you say, Hafizah? Qaswa, correct, mashallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel knelt down. So what happened then was, the Sahaba were concerned. They said, what happened? Khala'atil Qaswa. Has Qaswa become defiant? So Allah's Nabi said, no, that's not her nature. Allah who is Habisul Fil, Allah who halted the elephant of Abraha, Allah halted my camel. Because Allah wants me to share a message with you. And what was that message? We are not here to fight. We want peace with them. If they offer us anything, we're going to accept it. So anyway, Sahaba were reminded of that message and they stop at Hudaybiyah. Now there was no water there. They asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a well that had dried up. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his spear in that well. And he put his Mubarak hand. And there's two reports. Combining the two, water gushed from his blessed hand and from his spear. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And fortunate are the Sahaba kiram who drank from that water for the next days. The Meccans are not allowing the Muslims in. Which chapter of the Quran Kareem describes this entire amazing scene? I want you to rewind it, but we're discussing Medina, isn't it? Chapter 48 describes this. Chapter 48 is Suratul Fath, the chapter concerning the conquest. Now the first surah to be revealed in Medina Munawwara is Al-Baqarah. What's interesting is, Al-Baqarah speaks concerning the Jewish community for up to more than 50% of the chapter. Al-Baqarah. Then Ali Imran. So Al-Baqarah is in the sequence of Revelation, 87. Ali Imran, 89. Then Nisa, Ma'idah, all these are Medina surahs. Ma'idah is one of the last surahs to be revealed in Medina Munawwara. Al-Baqarah is the first surah to be revealed in Medina Munawwara. Now, this chapter is Al-Fath, is a Madani surah. Now, just to remember something, Al-Baqarah describes in detail how to convey the message of Islam to the Jewish community. Ali Imran details how to convey the message of Islam to the Christian community. For example, ask a Christian neighbor, customer, do you know the mother of Hazrat Isa, Isa alayhi salam? And if he doesn't know Isa alayhi salam, ask him, Jesus Christ? We call him Isa alayhi salam. He'll say, maybe he knows, maybe he doesn't know. Most of them know. Mary, Hazrat Maryam. So then you ask him, who is the father of Hazrat Maryam? Hazrat Imran. So chapter 3 of the Quran is named after the grandfather of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's mother's father. This was revealed when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote, amongst his first letters he wrote, was to a Christian community in Najran. Now, Mawlana Yusuf rahimahullah brings this report amazingly in the first volume of Hayatul Sahaba, under the chapter of the letters, and how they received this letter. What was the reaction in that community? How they chose 60 delegates, 14 of the elite, to come to Medina Munawwara. This chapter was revealed, guiding Muslims on how to invite the Christians to Islam. Back to Hudaybiyah. Muslims are barred. They're not allowed entry. The mushrikeen sent different people to convince Muslims that you cannot come in. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with Sahaba. Hazrat Umar was asked first. Hazrat Umar gave his opinion that I feel Uthman. And see the wisdom. Hazrat Uthman came from the Banu Umayyah, who were a very respectable tribe in the Meccan society. And that teaches us, when Allah gives us respect amongst people, use that respect to inspire them towards Islam. Whatever our faculty, whatever our science, whatever our position, when Allah gives us that respect, look what Allah's Nabi says to Uthman radiallahu anhu. Three duties. Duty number one, oh Hazrat Uthman, tell the Meccan society, go to their parliament, Darun Nadwa, tell them we're not here to fight. Number two, tell them, allow us to perform Umrah. That's what we came for. And number two, give them a full da'wah. Tell them we're not here to fight and we want to perform Umrah. That's number one. Number two, invite them to Islam. Wad'uhum ila al-Islam. Explain to them what is Islam and invite them to Islam. And number three, go to the suppressed Muslims in Makkah who are suffering in the dungeons and give them good news. Allah's help is coming soon. So Hazrat Uthman carried out these tasks. But he was delayed in Makkah Mukarramah because they detained him. Then Bay'atul Ridwan took place. Cutting a long story short, this is happening in Dhul-Qa'dah. The Meccans sent other delegates to explain to Muslims, you cannot come in. But any of those people that came to the Muslims, like Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi, when they came, Sahaba treated them very, very kindly. Sahaba afforded them an opportunity to see the beauty of Islam. Sometimes it was Salah time. They were made to sit to see how the Salah takes place, see how Deen takes place. Finally, Suhail bin Amr came. He came, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Sahaba, Allah is going to bring ease. And they want peace when they send this man. Because he was a diplomat. And his name means Suhail. Suhail means a very bright star. And it also means easy going. And from the discussion, he wasn't so easy going. But what it meant is, Allah brought khair from it. When Suhail came, and this discussion took place, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed. Okay, whatever you say, let's have peace. One of the clause of the treaty was, you cannot perform Umrah this year. But next year you come. And the ceasefire for 10 years. Then a few other things they said. Any Muslim cannot be accommodated in Medina Munawwara. But anybody who wants to leave Islam can be accepted in Makkah. Now they're writing it down. Suhail bin Amr refused to write Muhammadur Rasulullah. He says, no, you can't write this. If we accept you as Rasulullah, how can we stop you from the Kaaba? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fine. Hazrat Ali, who was documenting, refused to rub out Muhammadun Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself removed that part of the letter and then it was rewritten, Muhammad bin Abdullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's why in Surah 48, the chapter culminates in verse 27 and then 28. Muhammadun Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Starts with the praise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and 10 qualities of Sahaba Kiram. This was in the context that you refuse to write Muhammad Rasulullah in your document. Allah enshrines in His Kalam Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As they are about to sign this document, one man escapes from the dungeon. His name was Abu Jandal. He was shackled. There were rocks tied to him, dragging himself, bleeding, suffering. He throws himself in front of the Muslims. The Muslims were elated to see him. He's rescued. He's coming with us. Sahaba was sure of it. Allah's Nabi was about to sign and he saw him. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this clause, this treaty, the clause here starts after this man. Suhail said, no. We already started it. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, but we haven't signed the document yet. Suhail said, no. He is not allowed to go with you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this hadith is so amazing. The emphasis Allah's Nabi put here. Allah's Nabi said, but Suhail, here I insist. You have to send him with me. Suhail said, no. Allah's Nabi said again, but still you must. Suhail said, then we cancel everything. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was saddened. Sahaba were wondering, what is Allah's Nabi going to do? Is he going to agree? He said, fine. We comply. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Jandal is crying. All the Sahaba are crying. Abu Jandal had to go back. But what is shocking is Abu Jandal is Suhail's own son. Anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him hope. Allah will open your way. But the clause of the treaty, If you are a Muslim and you're leaving Makkah, you cannot go to Medina Munawwara. So Sahaba wondering, where will Allah open the way? But Allah opens the way. Allah does things in amazing ways. Anyway, Sahaba are distraught and shocked. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made remarks after that. They didn't understand. Shave your hair, slaughter your animal and we move. No one understood because they couldn't believe it. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was faced with a dilemma, a situation. He went to Hazrat Ummu Salama. What was her name? Who can tell me? Hazrat Ummu Salama. What was Hazrat Ummu Salama's name? MashaAllah. Hazrat Hind. Hind bint Abi Umayyah radiyallahu anha was Hazrat Ummu Salama, his Mubarak wife. He asked her, what do you feel? What do we do in this situation? She said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're just shocked. They're emotional. You do what Allah tells you to do, they will just comply. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, Hazrat Kharash removed his blessed Baal, he slaughtered his animal, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed. Anyway, Hazrat Abu Bakr was giving Sahaba encouragement. So Sahaba asked, that didn't Allah's Nabi say, we're going to perform Umrah? Look at the seniority of Hazrat Abu Bakr. Hazrat Abu Bakr tells them, Allah's Nabi said you're going to perform Umrah. You are going to perform. But did Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell you when you're going to perform? Allah is making our tarbiyat. It happens when Allah wants it to happen. We want it to happen now. It will happen when Allah wants it to happen. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning. Which verse was revealed? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Verily, we have granted thee a clear victory, an open victory. And Allah has protected you from all sins. And Allah has taken you through the levels of hidayah. وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. This ayah is quite interesting. Allah takes you through the, meaning you reached another level of hidayah. Because اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. When a Muslim makes that dua, it doesn't mean Allah just make me Muslim. Because we all are Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the same dua. The pious after that make the same dua. What it means is Allah take us through the levels of hidayah. وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ. For everyone else, Allah forgives you. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has barred you and protected you. Because غَفَرَ يَغْفِرُ means, like it means to forgive, it also means to conceal. That's why there's an amazing, and also means to protect, to block you from something. That's why Hazrat Mufti Ridha al-Haq Sahib, Hafidhahullah, explained so beautifully, one of the du'as when we exit the restroom is غُفْرَانَكَ, which means Allah forgive me. But why are we asking Allah's forgiveness at that time? A person relieved himself. What wrong he did? So one reason is Allah, during those moments, I couldn't take your name out of respect. Forgive me for those times where I couldn't take your name. Forgive me for that. The other meaning is, or the other reason for seeking Allah's forgiveness is, oh Allah, this is such a bounty. I had such a meal. You blessed me with that. The harmful part, you made a system for my body that could be pushed out of my body. And the nutritional part and the beneficial part remained in my body. Allah, forgive me for my incapability and inability to thank you enough. Forgive me for that. Another meaning that's very interesting. غُفْرَانَك means to conceal. So, oh Allah, conceal my faults from your creation. Don't show humanity my actual real weakness. Otherwise, I'll be totally disgraced. غُفْرَانَك. Allah, make my satari always. So that's one of the meanings here. This chapter was revealed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning and sahaba are asking, أَفَتْحٌ هُو? Is this a victory? Hazrat Abu Bakr always said, مَا كَانَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَتْحْ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ صُلْحِ الْحُدَيْبِيَةِ. We've never seen a conquest, a victory like Hudaybiyah. Outwardly we're walking back. ذُلْقَعْدَةِ. Then comes Dhul Hijjah. We couldn't even go to Makkah. Then Muharram. Now 7th year starts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered Sahaba. He sat on the minbar of Masjid al-Nabawi. He gathers them in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says to them, O my Sahaba, Inna Allah ba'athani kaffatan linnasi rahmah fa'addu anni rahimakumullah. O my Sahaba, Allah has sent me for the whole wide world. You have to take it from me and give it to the whole world. May Allah bless you. This ayah of the Quran in Surah Saba. Now interestingly, in the Quran Kareem, every quarter of the Quran starts with Alhamdulillah. Surah Fatiha, Surah An'am, Surah Kahf, the next quarter, Saba and Fatir. Alhamdulillah. So in Saba, Allah tells Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wama arsalnaka illa kaffa." Those that learned grammar will enjoy this. Kaffa supposed to come last in the sentence because it's hal. Hal comes last. How so and so came comes last. Zaid came riding. Zaid came running. That comes last. When you bring the hal first in the sentence, it's to emphasize it drastically. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا لِلنَّاسِ كَافَّةً. That's supposed to be the normal sequence. But this verse says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً. Then لِلنَّاسِ. Hal came first and then Dhul Hal. This is emphasizing the whole world is encompassed in your jurisdiction, O Muhammadur Rasulullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here he's telling Sahaba, Allah sent me for the world. You take it from me and give it to the world. And he asked them, who was sent to Rome? Who can tell me? From the Sahaba Kiram. Very handsome Sahabi. Hazrat, let's see what the brothers of Melanson say, mashallah. Hazrat Dihya. Dihya. Dihya bin Khalifa al-Kalbi radiallahu anhu. He goes to the Roman Emperor. Where was he at that time? He was not in Constantinople. That was his center. And the other center of Christendom was Rome. And this one center was Constantinople. He was in Palestine at the time. Because he had just defeated the Persians. Because that's also in Surah Ar-Rum. The Persians had crushed the Romans. And it was a crushing defeat where the Romans were not expected to stand up again. But the chapter of the Quran prophesied that the Romans will defeat. That's why he was not in Constantinople. At the time he was in Palestine. So Hazrat Dihya went to meet him there and delivered the letter. That's an amazing journey, how he met him and how the Roman Emperor was shocked because he saw a dream after that, that the circumcised people are going to take his lands. Then he sent Hazrat Dihya to meet the Pope. Dughatir was his name. When the Pope was met, the Pope embraced Islam. That senior priest embraced Islam. Dughatir, look under his name, radiyallahu anhu, rahimahullah. And for 3 weeks, he didn't come out on Sunday to preach. And it's an amazing story. Afterwards, they killed the senior priest. And he went back to Hiraqal, the Caesar. Anyway, which Sahabi went to the Persian Emperor? Hazrat Abdullah bin Hudhafa al-Sahmi. That's also an amazing journey. Which Sahabi went to Alexandria, the king of Egypt? Hazrat Hatib, radiallahu anhu. Now his journey is also so amazing. Hazrat Hatib, when he arrives there, he comes with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's letter. An apostle. With an epistle. What's the word? Epistle. An apostle with an epistle. Epistle. So, a messenger with a letter. When he arrives there, the king was in his balcony, jazakallah. On his balcony, and he sees this Sahabi. Sahabi shows him the letter, and he calls him up. So Sahabi comes up. The dialogue between Hazrat Hatib and Muqawqis, that was his title, his name was Juraij, is an amazing discussion. Where Muqawqis was very inquisitive. He asked things like, you say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true. Why was he kicked out of Makkah? If he's true, he would have conquered Makkah already. But what's interesting when studying this, how Muqawqis knew so much already. Muqawqis knew so much because he was friends with another Sahabi, Mughira, who just embraced Islam recently. But look how Mughira embraced Islam. And there's a very pertinent lesson for us here. Hazrat Mughira was not a Muslim. He was very shrewd prior to his Islam and very treacherous. But Islam changed him amazingly. But in Egypt, one day when he was visiting Muqawqis, and he used to give Muqawqis the history of what's happening in Makkah and so forth. That's how Muqawqis knew so much. But one day, Muqawqis says to him, this man Muhammad is such an amazing man. Why wouldn't you accept him? So Hazrat Mughira says, you know how many times he came to my door, I don't even give him a hearing. What an amazing report. Then Muqawqis says, a man brings goodness to your door and you don't listen to him? What a fool are you? This shocked Mughira. He said, the king is telling me this, and it hit a core. Then he went to meet the priests of Egypt, to find information and the descriptions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then he went just before Hudaybiyah, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam embraced Islam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the wrongs you did in the past and you killed certain people, don't get me involved in that, but your Islam, Ammal Islam fa Aqbal. That's the context of that hadith. But as for what you took and the blood money you owe, don't get me involved in that. Anyway, Muqawqis is asking, who now? Hazrat Hatib. Why was he kicked out? Look at the response of Hazrat Hatib. He says, respected sir, tell me, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he is Allah's man. They tried to kill him. When these people harmed him, did he pray for them or curse them? See, you're speaking to a man who loves Christ. Tell him what he loves. Then he listened. Look at the wisdom of Hazrat Hatib. Because we also love Isa alayhi salam. We love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam the most, so we have to tell them about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also. That's a sad reality. Ask anybody at random, who's Jesus? He'll tell you something about him. He'll tell you something about Moses, Musa alayhi salam. He'll tell you something about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ask any person at random, do you know Muhammad? See, many of them will say, I don't know. Some will say, oh, he's the prophet for the Indian. Try it out. This is something that should make us cry. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Rahman al-Alameen. And they don't know our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It should make our hearts ache and pain that the only thing some intellectuals know about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is negativities. But the man who brought a change to this universe, the greatest of Allah's creation, the most merciful of Allah's creation, the most loving, he liberated women, he brought value in people's lives, he brought respect to the world. When Europe was in that dark ages, 1400 years ago, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught kindness to even the slaves. He taught love for anyone. He taught respect for the people of Africa. The woman, radiallahu anha, who cared for him more than any other human in history and spent more time with him, more than means for a longer period in this question that I'm asking you. Who was she? She was from Africa. Who can tell me her name? When Allah's Nabi entered Makkah on the occasion of conquest, it was with her son. What was her name? Hazrat Baraka. And her son was Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhum. They don't know. They don't know. Allah forgive us. Why they don't know? Allah forgive us. Allah forgive us. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba to the world. When Muqawqis heard this, he said to Hazrat Hatib, Anta Hakim, Ataita min indi Hakim. You're a wise man. You came from such a wise man. And then he says to him, because Hazrat Hatib said, but you know what? We're not telling you to denounce Christ. وَلَسْنَا نَنْهَاكَ عَنِ الْمَسِيحِ لَكِنَّنَا نَأْمُرُكَ بِهِ. We advocate that you follow Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, because he's mentioned in our books. And you know, you tell a Christian. Just the other day, we're showing them what the Quran Sharif says about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. They shock, especially when you come to the part that his mother gave birth to him, alayhi salam, alayhi salam. And now she walks into the community. This is in chapter 19. She walks into the community. And the bishops and the rabbis start reprimanding her and accusing her for her. For this perpetration. مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ مْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّةٍ. Your father and mother are not indecent people. How dare you perpetrate such a crime? Hazrat Maryam pointed to the child. They say, you want us to speak to a baby in the cradle? قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ الصَّبِيَّةِ. And this little child turns towards them in his mother's lap. He's not even an hour or two old. He says, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. You read the translation of these verses to them. It'll drop their jaws because they don't know. They've never heard this story. It's not even in the Bible. Anyway, Hazrat Hatib inspired Muqawqis. Hazrat Hatib returns among the Sahaba because this was Dhul Qa'dah, right? What happens next year, Dhul Qa'dah? Umratul Qada. The Qada of this Umrah. And Umratul Qadiyah. That's a discussion of fiqh. Sahaba returned to perform the Umrah. This time it was permissible. 3 days they have in Makkah Mukarramah. Look at the wisdom of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a special lady in Medina, in Makkah Mukarrama. Her husband passed away, Abu Ruhum. And she was out of iddah. She said to her sister, I want to gift myself to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah mentioned this to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can accept this, nobody else. Anyway, her sister was Lubaba Ummul Fadl, mentioned to Hazrat Abbas. So Lubaba was the wife of Hazrat Abbas. Mentioned to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my sister wants to gift herself to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave that, I'll marry her. Because Allah ta'ala says that this is khalisatan laka min dunil mu'minin. Someone can gift herself, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wedded her. Anyway, he went and he sent Abu Rafi'. This is another amazing historical story of this Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Rafi'. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Abu Rafi', take my proposal, and alhamdulillah, it was agreed, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wedded Hazrat, you tell me, the last of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. On this occasion, Dhul Qa'dah, just before, during the Umrah, Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha, her name was Barra. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed her name to Maymuna. He wedded her in Sarif. This is the town just outside Makkah. Umrah was performed. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message to the senior mushrikeen of Makkah, because they were wanting to see the weakness of the Muslims. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Sahaba, perform your Umrah with vigor. Make the ramal, make the ittiba'. All those going for Hajj and Umrah, mashallah. This happened on that occasion and it remains in the Sunnah. This was to show the Meccan people that don't talk bad about Medina Munawwara. Medina hasn't weakened us. We are stronger. And Sahaba marched at Tawaf in such an amazing manner. That was because of their rumors. Islam teaches us, answer their misconceptions with character, with wisdom, with action. Instead of blabbing back, prove the beauty of Islam with action. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited them for a ma'duba, a wedding, a walima. And look at the strategy according to seerah. He wanted an extension. That I want to make yours ikram because I got married. Through marriage, people's hearts generally get soft and they accept an invite. But look at the vision of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through inviting them, they're going to eat food. Then to give them dawat becomes easier. That's why prior to this, few years ago, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak wife was in Abyssinia. Her husband became Christian before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wedded her. His name was Ubaydullah bin Jahsh. He told his wife, because he started joining bad company in Abyssinia, alcoholics. And he told his wife, you don't become Christian, I'll divorce you. She said, you can divorce me. What was her name? She came out of that marriage. Few months later, out of her iddah, she sees a dream. And the angel is telling her, Ya Ummul Mu'mineen! She's wondering, how am I Ummul Mu'mineen? And the next day, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's letter comes, proposing for her. That was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Who? The daughter of Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim yet. But such a great sahabiya, look at her qurbani. Hazrat Ummu Habiba, who can tell me her name? MashaAllah, Ramla. Hey, these young men are sharp, MashaAllah. They have to be from Newcastle, these ones. MashaAllah. No, they're actually from here. From here and Newcastle, MashaAllah. Allah reward you, Mawlana. Hazrat Ramla, Hazrat Ummu Habiba, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded her. And she was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. So here, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam weds Hazrat Maymuna, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. When he invites them for this feast, they said, please, so I want you to understand the intention behind the feast. But the outcome was, so as Muslims, we have to try and endeavor. The results are in Allah's hands. They turned down his invite. They said, please, you just stick to time and get out after 3 days. We don't want your invite. So they were still hostile. During those 3 days, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a lot of inroads into the Meccan society. He looked for Khalid bin Walid. He said to Walid bin Walid, Walid, where's your brother Khalid? Doesn't he know? If he comes to us, لَنُقَدِّمُهُ we'll honor him. We'll give him great respect. And you know what? Oh Walid, he should know that he's such an intelligent man. How can Islam be hidden from him? وَعَقْلُهُ عَقْلُهُ Anyway, when Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu ran away from Makkah, another very great Sahabi who ran away from Makkah, he wasn't a Muslim yet. His name was Amr ibn al-As. He went away to Abyssinia. He said, I don't want to meet the Muslims. I'm going rather to Najashi. Now when Khalid bin Walid returned, his brother's letter received him. Meaning he received his brother's letter. And his brother told him, Ya Akhi, O my beloved brother, how can you lose out? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for you repeatedly. And he mentioned this about you, and he mentioned that about you. Oh my brother, don't get deprived. Hazrat Khalid's heart softened. Anyway, he's wondering, I have to go. He called a close friend of his. His close friend was Ikrimah. He says, Ikrimah, I want to talk to you in confidence. What you feel? Islam is the truth. Let's go. Ikrimah says, what? You, our main commander, our main warrior, you want to go? Never! Ikrimah gets enraged. Ikrimah calls the senior mushrikeen of Makkah. Let's go quickly by Khalid. This is what he's talking about. He's lost it. They gather in Khalid's home and they try and convince him not to make that move. When Hazrat Khalid was adamant, he was trying to convince them out of good-heartedness. They were taking out their swords to put him away. He realized they're taking this too seriously and they're not letting him go. He says, fine. You're telling me not to be hasty. Let's leave it for now. Let me listen to what y'all are saying. Y'all are our seniors at the end of the day. And he made them calm and they left his home. That night he's thinking, hey, I can't be here. Islam is the truth and I must stay. That night he was gone. Who he meets en route? Another man who kept the key of the Kaaba. He was in charge of the key of the Kaaba. Hazrat Uthman bin Talha. Even Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi wanted to enter the Kaaba in the Meccan stage. He refused. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you refuse me to enter the Kaaba today. Tomorrow the key will be in my hands. What you'll do? Uthman says, never. He also meets Khalid on the way. There was a third person who met them on the way. Where is he coming from? He went to Abyssinia. When he arrives at Abyssinia, Najashi was already Muslim. But Amr didn't know. So Amr knew Najashi from the past. Radiallahu anhum. But they're not yet, Amr is not yet Muslim. When he goes to Najashi, because they were friends, he notices that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter arrived at Najashi also. But this letter was not an invitation to Islam. It was teachings of Islam and other issues. So Amr ibn al-As wanted to make up to the mushrikeen of Makkah that they upset why he left them. So he wants to do them a favor in their absence. So he says to Najashi, you close to me, hand over to me the man who Muhammad sends to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is he? Amr bin Umayyah al-Damri radiallahu anhu. Najashi says, Amr, what are you saying? He says, I told you, this man who's here, you close to me, hand him over to me, I'll take him hostage. At least the Meccan people will forgive me. Najashi says, what? Gives him one clout. Hazrat Amr bin As says, I was so shocked. And then he says to me, Amr, how dare you? You want me to hand over to you the emissary of the messenger of Allah? How can I? So Najashi, Hazrat Amr bin As asked him, but who says he's the Nabi of Allah? Who says he's the Nabi of Allah? Najashi says, I am telling you he's the Nabi of Allah. Hazrat Amr bin As says, you are telling me, then I accept. Another lesson for you and I. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Hazrat Amr bin As how many times dawah? Far away, Najashi's dawah affected him. So Allah gives people dawah and hidayat in different places. Sometimes in your office. Sometimes you're traveling somewhere. You booked at some chalet. You put some braai meat on the you carried some akni, some biryani. When you're making it hot, the first night, put one nice tap away. Send it with your son next door. Give our neighbor, Fandamarva is there. Send for him. Whoever it is staying, you know you got 3 days. Second day, you're putting a braai stand. Sausages, whatever. Send fresh next door. Not send after you eat. Send first with the niyat of hidayat. Third day, you see his children playing outside. You doing something with your children. Call them. Play with them. And like that, after, before you leave them, I brought you some booklets. Give him that booklet. Ramadan time, I say to my sisters who are listening, you're sending with uncle plate of samosas for the masjid. In the masjid there's a lot of samosas. Carry on sending, alhamdulillah. Send one plate for Fandamarva next door. You don't send my sister. Send it with your husband. Or send it with your son. How will they get to know the beauty of Islam? Ikram softens the heart. Allah give us tawfiq. What happened here? Hazrat Amr embraced Islam. Because Hazrat Amr bin As asked Najashi, if you say it, I accept it. Man li bihi, who will make me Muslim? I will make you Muslim. Najashi holds his hand and makes him read the kalima. Now Hazrat Amr, so if you ask, who is that sahabi who embraced Islam at the hands of a tabi'i, even though Hazrat Amr is not sahabi yet, he's going to go towards sahabi yet. Because he hadn't met Rasulullah ﷺ with iman yet. He met Nabi ﷺ prior. But that question is answered with this scenario. Najashi, the mukhadram, the tabi'i, gives dawat to a man who becomes a sahabi. Now Hazrat Amr ibn al-As journeys. And en route, he sees the other two. Him, Khalid and Uthman, radiyallahu anhum, meet each other. And each one is silent. What are you all doing on this road? And Hazrat Amr musters up the courage. The truth is clear. Let's go. And they all go. They're entering Madinah Munawwara. Imagine this scenario. The three front row of the effort of the forces of Batil. Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhu. What happened to him prior? Even when Muslims migrated to Abyssinia, he made sure, he tried his best repeatedly to get them back. Conniving in his jahiliyyah. Khalid bin Walid, in Uhud, he maneuvered, he found a gap behind the Muslims, between the mountain, the mountain pass, and he crushed the Muslims from the rear. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, Uthman bin Talha, from the parliament of Quraysh, refused Allah's Nabi's entry into Makkah. As they're entering, no one came out to say, oh, you all coming here, you all made our mothers widows, and you all made us orphans. No one even said that. These three are coming into Madinah Munawwara, and the whole of Madinah Munawwara welcomes them. When they arrive before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi says to Sahaba, look at that. قَدْ أَلْقَتْ إِلَيْكُمْ مَكَّةُ أَفْلَاذِ كَبِدِهَا. Makkah now gives you her heart. This is the heart of Makkah. Makkah gave you her kaleji. Literal translation. أَفْلَاذُ الْكَبِدْ. This is Makkah. Makkah is now at your feet. Now Hidayat will reach the four corners of the world. And these Sahaba were welcomed. How many a time? Even in Makkah, when Makkah was conquered. Ikrimah ran away when his wife brought him, Hazrat Ummu Hakim. Finally, when she brought him to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba, Ikrimah is coming. That was the same Ikrimah who tried to kill Hazrat Khalid. He harmed the cause of Islam so much, even when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah, the next year now, this is 7th year now, 8th year, Makkah was to be conquered because the mushrikeen breached the agreement. So 2 years. In 2 years, how many people marching with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Makkah? 10,000 sahaba, men, women and children, much more. And what was interesting, in those 2 years, many women came. That comes in surah Mumtahina and Mumtahana. Because when the men came to Makkah, like Abu Jandal, remember Abu Jandal? When the men came to Makkah, came to Madinah Munawwara, they had to be sent back. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Allah will make a way for you all. Hazrat Abu Basir, Hazrat Abu Jandal established a town on the shores, on the seashore. That was their town. But when the women folk came, Quran Sharif says, test them if they're coming for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are welcome. The mushrikeen came to Madinah Munawwara to say, you have to send our woman back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was no woman mentioned in the clause. So Allah's will, it was only referring to men folk. So Allah Ta'ala saved the women folk, the sahabiyat. And that's a discussion in surah Al-Mumtahana and Al-Mumtahina. If they came sincerely, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't send the women folk back. But that chapter discusses, if sahaba wed them, how should the dowry be paid? And what should their husbands be paid? That whole discussion comes there. Now, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes to Makkah Mukarrama with 10,000 strong, this is mentioned in the Bible as well. As I was telling you, so much, even Rasulullah's Badr is in the Bible. Iqra is in this chapter of Isaiah. Allah's Nabi returns to Makkah with 10,000 holy ones. Anyway, respected Ummah, Allah's deen reached the four corners of the world like this. 10,000 Sahaba. 2 years ago, how many were they? 14 to 1600 men. Women folk were 3 to 4,000. Here 10,000 men. In 19 years, 1,400 Muslims. Or 1,600, and there were a few other new Muslims who didn't join on that journey. Very few. Here there's 10,000 strong in 2 years. Why? What was the difference? When Sahaba interacted with people, they seeing the interaction, they dealing with them, buying and selling from them. Sahaba also gave da'wah. This is the problem. Many Muslims will be honest and transparent and fair in our dealings. But the da'wat part we neglect. Sahaba gave da'wat har hal mein. On every occasion. Makkah was conquered. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah with that African sahabi, Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu. This was to teach the world that we are one ummah. Hazrat Ikrimah ran away, isn't it? Hazrat Ikrimah ran away. Hazrat Ikrimah's wife went to meet him. She went to tell him, Allah's Nabi is prepared to pardon you. She met him at the seashore and he had boarded the ship. And Allahu Akbar, the report says that the waters became rowdy and the captain of the ship is telling everyone, turn to Allah, akhlisu, turn to Allah. So Ikrimah is telling the people next to him, what is he saying? Turn to Allah, why? So the person next to him is telling him that only Allah can help us. Hazrat Ikrimah says, if Allah is going to help us at sea, only Allah can help us in the land. Look how Allah decreed Hazrat Ikrimah's hidayat there. Allah gives people hidayat in very mysterious ways. Just then he sees his wife arrive at the shore. And then he says to the captain, send me there. So this is the request to respected Ummah. Who's going to reach the world? Who's going to invite people to Islam? Our problem today is we've neglected this duty. When we study the Sahaba's lives, Sahaba invited not to force them to become Muslim. Tell them, brother, I know you for so many years. You stay next to me. I wanted to tell you about Islam. Do you know what Islam means? Whatever little bit you know of Allah's deen, tell him. They're looking for Allah. They're searching for Allah. There was a Jewish child sick in Medina Munawwara. This is in Sahih Bukhari. Jewish child sick. Who went to visit him? Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit him. His name was Abdul Quddus. And while he was resting there, Allah's Nabi invited him to Islam. What an opportunity. We go visit our Muslim patients, Muslim brothers sick in the hospital. Next door bedding, there's a non-Muslim there. And what about greeting him? Hello uncle, how are you? Where are you from? Don't worry, the Almighty is merciful. I want to pray for you too. Tell him that. Uncle, you're going to tell him I want to pray for you. You know what he's going to tell you? You know what he's going to tell you? Thank you. And you're going to raise your hand like this, you're going to make dua for him. He's going to get amazed. You're going to say, oh Allah, this brother is not well. Make it easy for him. Make it easy for his family. Oh Allah, you are one. You have no partner whatsoever. Everything happens only through you. Nothing happens without you. Oh Allah, cure this uncle. Oh Allah, make it easy for his family. Oh Allah, every heartbeat comes from you. And you can say Almighty God a few times so he knows you're talking about God and you're not talking about someone else. Because some of them think Allah is another deity because that's what some of the priests confuse them about. So this is our request. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sent to the whole world. But our neighbors have never received the message of Islam. Jamaat we have to do. That's a different effort. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not saying mix the two. I'm not saying, brother, you're going for gush, now you must go to the non-Muslim for gush. I'm not saying that. Jamaat, do it with the usul. Like when we go to the khanqah, there's usuls. We have to do it like that. Like when we go to the madrasa, there's those rules. Follow that system. This is another effort. That even when you're at home, your neighbor is cutting his grass. Go out of your way, greet him. Hello, how are you, uncle? How are you doing? Come have a cup of tea with me. And then in that you tell him, you know our creator who made us is one and the same. You know Hazrat Abu Bakr became Muslim, was the first Muslim, isn't it? Who did he go to in Makkah? The elite of Makkah. You and I also understood da'wah to mean, oh, go to the location, take a nice big pot of food and feed the people. Hundreds of people will read the kalima. Carry on, that's great. We're doing that in South Africa for many years and carry on. Man's heart becomes soft, he's going to read the kalima. Don't stop it. That one is easy. The other day I was meeting one relative in one of the near areas towards Newcastle. So he's telling me how he's this so far. So I asked him, the uncle who came to buy the car in your auto lot, did you tell him? Why are we shy to tell that person? If he's not interested, he'll tell you, no thank you, no problem, sir. Like you're offering your car to somebody, he doesn't want to buy it, no thank you, no problem, have a lovely day. But make an offer, make an attempt. That's our plead. Hazrat Abu Bakr went to who? Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, radiallahu anhu. Abu Salama bin Abdul Asad, radiallahu anhu. Talha bin Ubaidillah. Talha bin Ubaidillah was a prominent businessman in Makkah. Hazrat Uthman, radiallahu anhu, was given dawah already by his aunt. His mother was Arwa bint Turais, radiallahu anha. His aunt was Su'da. Su'da, radiallahu anha, gave Hazrat Uthman dawah. It touched him, but he was not yet ready. So he says, I'm going to meet my business friend, Abu Bakr. He goes to meet Abu Bakr. He says, oh, Abu Bakr, my aunt says this. Hazrat Abu Bakr says to him, think about it. You're an intelligent man, Uthman. Such an intelligent man, and you worshipping what you manufacture with your own hands. Does it make sense to you? Yeah. Now that you're saying it, Abu Bakr, you're right. Hazrat Abu Bakr says to him, come, I'll take you with me. And he takes him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what you have to do, respected sir. He's in your office. Just now you're going to the masjid for dhuhr. Just now you're going for Jumu'ah. Call him in your office. Tell him, have a cup of tea. Tell him, I'm going for Jumu'ah. I'm going for dhuhr. Come with me. That's all. See, he's scared. Hazrat Uthman was scared. Hazrat Abu Bakr motivated him. Come, I'm going. Come with me. I'll take you to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what you have to say to your friend in school, young man. Tell him, come, I'm going to. No way. What they'll tell me? They'll reprimand. Nobody will tell you anything. So, the intellectual people also we have to invite to Islam. Neighbors, friends, colleagues. They have to be given a direct invitation. Bashir and Nadir. Such an invitation that we have to also say, and if you don't want to consider it, remember my friend, we know each other for many years, but we're all going to die. How are we going to answer the Almighty then? Take his sleep away, but with kind, polite words. He'll go to sleep, he'll be thinking, hey, that friend of mine told me this. Yeah, man. He'll come to you, he'll want more literature, he'll want more information. Please try. Who's going to help us? Who's going to help us? All going to try. Inshallah. Sheikh Saleh, bring that booklet. Leave it here. Whoever wants can take it. You know, take a few. Make a nice gift bag. Make a nice gift bag. Put a booklet. You can get more pamphlets from Darul Ihsan also. And if you're very close to a friend and you spoke to him already, you can even give him a translation of the Quran. Gift him a translation of the Quran. I tell you, you know what he'll say? He'll say, just not long ago we were coming and we're finishing with this side. On a flight. So somehow the flight was jam-packed. So one of the asatidah that was sitting next to me, we were returning from Turkey, and somehow I was jammed in the middle. The old person next to me, so I said, Ma, if you need anything, just tell me. She says, thank you, thank you. Then after that she tells me, because I saw there was no other seats. She tells me, find out what time is the supper. She really needed help, the old lady. You know, she had nobody, she was alone on the flight. So I went to find out, Ma, they're only serving in an hour's time. It's a midnight flight. She says, okay. And I could see she was hungry. So I stretched for some biscuits and I gave the old lady. Afterwards, I got explaining to her a few things. And I gifted her a booklet. If you want, I'll give you Hidden Treasures in the Bible. It's a nice bouquet that explains how what so many practices that the Anbiya did that's in their books, we do. It's another very nice strategy that can also be used in inviting them to Islam. Anyway, she read that. And I went away. Afterwards, when I came back, she's telling me, you know, I accept everything in this book. I am on my way to New Zealand. My great-grandson was born. Anyway, at our next transit, I went to get tea and coffee for my satis. At the counter, as I'm asking them for some tea, coffee, I said, five roses and some cappuccino. So the person there didn't know what was five roses. And the person behind me was laughing. So I realized that they don't know what is five roses tea. It's specific to South Africa. So I said, oh sorry, English breakfast tea. So I paid for the tea and just paid for the cappuccino of the person behind me. So as I take our cappuccinos and our teas and I put sugar, This person is saying to the person at the counter, you know what, I want this croissant and I want that sandwich because I didn't eat on the flight. So that person is telling her, why you didn't eat on the flight? I was so busy, I'm on my way to America, and on the flight, five people took testimonies. And I'm thinking to myself, Ya Allah, they have falsehood. They have falsehood. And they exerting themselves in spreading it. And we have haqq. We'll sit there on the flight. We won't even think, Ya Allah, this person next to me is going to Jahannam. Who's going to save him? What does the ayat of the Quran mean when it says, Oh my Nabi, you're so restless. Because who's going to come to these people? That's why please help us in this. Invite them. Start with the people who are dealing with you on a daily basis. And let's say they're going to ask you something complicated. Most of them don't ask questions. But if they ask you something that's complicated, you tell him, what a good question, sir. I'm going to get back to you. And you speak to Maulana Sahib, you speak to Imam Sahib, and you get back to that person. But you'll see, most of them won't even ask you a question. Even if you're telling them about the Adhan, you know how happy he'll get. Even the local Zulu, that old lady working in your house, she doesn't even know the meaning of the Adhan. Imagine how we have neglected our duty. She doesn't even know that. When you tell them, oh, is that what it means? Jazakumullahu khairan. So if you want these booklets, you're welcome. And there's many other booklets you can also give. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Ya Allah, help us, accept us, forgive us, guide us. Make it easy for the ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the world, especially in Gaza, Palestine, ya Rabbil Alameen. Help our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers in Rafah, in Gaza. Preserve Masjid al-Aqsa, ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, preserve all the beautiful works of deen, the jamaat striving in your path, the important effort of islah and tazkiyah, the effort of teaching the ummah deen, the makatib work, the social work, the masajid work. Ya Allah, preserve all these beautiful works. Ya Allah, but this great work of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where every Nabi invited every non-Muslim to you. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited every non-Muslim to you. Ya Allah, this work, we have totally neglected it, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. This duty, this responsibility, where the Quran Sharif tells us how every Nabi invited to you. Ya Allah, we have neglected this duty. We pass so many non-Muslims and we don't ever tell them about the beauty of Islam. Ya Allah, they know about so many Anbiya alayhi musallam, but they don't know about our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, on judgment day also, when every ummah of every Nabi will go to every Nabi for intercession, that Qiyamah ceremony should start. And no Nabi would intercede until everyone, every ummah of every Nabi comes to our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he intercedes and you accept his intercession. So that every ummah of every Nabi knows him. Ya Allah, you want everyone to know him. Today the people around the world don't know him. But derogatory matters and issues. Ya Allah, we have neglected telling the world about you and your Muhammad and your Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive us for this grave injustice, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, we ask you for all good for the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the four corners of the world. Make our ijtima's coming a success, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And bless us in Newcastle also, Ya Allah, with the ijtima's, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And bless the brothers of Durban also to give us the ijtima's. Because Allah, we also need it, like they also have great works taking place here. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi. Beloved brothers, make dua for us. We came from Newcastle. Tomorrow we're going to ask for the istima. So when you'll come there for the mashura, support us too, please. Because you know, you all have a lot of istimas here. And you've got a lot of works of deen taking place here. So when they ask for Newcastle, we need it more, man. You all are so many righteous people here, pious people here. You know, we're very weak. So please, Haji Sahab, support us there tomorrow. And make dua for us. We really need it. Two of our, Allah make it easy. The youth's hearts are soft. And people are ready. And we haven't had an istima for over a decade. So, Mauna Yusuf, make special dua and convince the guys to support us. Jazakumullahu khairan.